next shiur will be a continuation on the inyan of Hilchus Tzedakah, and Master Shem will cover the general topic of Tzedakah this week, and next week we'll get to the lemaisa of how to give out your maisa, how to do your income maisa report. Will be Master Shem next week. Firstly, as an akdama, we know that one of the tremendous milas of tzedakah is that tzedakah tatzel mimavis. If a person gives tzedakah, it saves him from death. There's a very famous story, the Gemara brings down in Shabbos Daf Kuf Nun Vav, that there was a stargazer whose name was Avlet. And Avlet was a stargazer who one time said to Shmuel that a certain person was going out to work, and he said, "You'll see, he's not going to come back today." So Shmuel said, "If it's a yid, he has a different, he's in a different cheshbon. Lav dafka, just because it says in the stars he's not coming back, you'll see, he might come back." And now he will come back, Bez Hashem, if he's a yid, he's in a different mazel. Anyways, that day, when the workers came back from the field, so this worker came back, and Shmuel was sitting there with Avlet, and they examined his knapsack, and they found that in the straw that he was bringing back, there was a snake, and the snake was chopped in half. So Shmuel said to this worker, "Tell me, what great deed did you do today?" So he said, "I'll tell you what I did. Every day when we go out there, there is a lunch that's served to the workers. And the way it works is, everybody brings their own food. And we go around and we collect everybody's food, put it in one center area. And then everybody takes from that food, so it looks like everybody's eating the same meal. That's the system. Everybody donates to the basket in the center, and then everybody eats from that basket. You share the food." And I was the one that was collecting the food, and I knew that there was one person who couldn't afford to bring food today. So what I did was, I passed by him and I made believe like I was taking food from him. And when it came actually to give out the food, I couldn't take other people's food and give it to him, because it would be a chashash geneva. I gave him my portion. So Shmuel said to him, "You see, tzedakah tatzel mimavis. You thought you were cutting a stork. Instead of cutting a stork, you ended up cutting the snake that was supposed to kill you." We all know a very similar story that happened with the daughter of Rebbe Akiva. Rebbe Akiva, the Gemara tells us that there was one of the stargazers told Rebbe Akiva that the day of your daughter's chasana, she's going to be killed. And what happened was that the night before, Rebbe Akiva was very worried, he never told his daughter about it, and the night before the chasana, she had a headdress that she was going to wear the next day, and she probably tried it on to make sure it fit well, and she hung it up over her bed, and the way she hung it up over her bed was like in a corkboard. She stuck the headdress into the wall, and the Gemara tells us that when it was dark, she stuck it into the wall, and she stuck it through a poisonous snake that was crawling on the wall. The Gemara, as a matter of fact, says she stuck it through his eyeball into the wall. That's what the Gemara tells us, how she hung it up. In the morning when she woke up, she found the headdress with a snake dangling from it, a dead snake. So she came to Rebbe Akiva, and Rebbe Akiva said to her, "My daughter, what tremendous act did you do today that you were zoicha to be saved from Avi's death?" So she said to her father, "The day before the chasana, there was an oni that came to the door. Everybody was too busy, and nobody had time to take care of this oni. And I was there myself. I saw the oni was hungry, and I went and they gave out a meal. I took my portion and I gave it to this oni." So Rebbe Akiva went out and he announced, "Tzedakah tatzel mi maves." Chahena v'chahena, there are many stories. I'm not going to be marach in stories, but I want to tell you one story which I read, which is Gevaldige Musa Haskel, this story, and it really drives this point home. The Kapishnitz Rebbe, Zechroin Levracha, Rebbe Avraham Mashiach Heschel, who everybody knew as a Ramosha Zechroin Levracha, called him the Gadol Hador of Chesed. It was an interesting story. Everybody that knows, the Kloizim Rebbe Zechroin Levracha survived the war, but unfortunately he lost his wife and 10 children in the war. He lost his family. the Kapishnitz Rebbe, he survived, and his family survived too. After the war, the Kreuzminger Rebbe once met the Kapishnitz Rebbe and said to him, there has to be a reason why you were zoiche to survive the war with your whole family. Tell me, what is the secret why you survived the war with your whole family? So at first the Kapishnitz Rebbe wouldn't answer the question, but the Kreuzminger Rebbe was persistent, and he said to him, please answer this question to me. What is the reason, what schus do you attribute that your family survived the war? So the Kreuzminger Rebbe said, I'll tell you what happened. In 1938, he was in Vienna, and there was a rich chassid of the Kreuzminger Rebbe that came to him and said, the Germans, the first thing they would like to do is to kill the Rabbonim, the leaders of the Kehillah. That is who they went after first. So he said to him, you know what? I'm a very wealthy man, I'm a chassid of yours. He gave him an extremely large sum of money. He said, listen, I don't know, at this point, everybody's life, who knows who's going to survive, who's not. I want to have this chus, I'm giving you this tremendous chunk of money. Take it, take your family, run away. The Kapishnitz Rebbe took the money, and he had a Moed Geshayla afterwards. The minig by the Kapishnitz Rebbes were, and the same thing was the minig by many other great Rebbes, the Brisker Ruf had this minig, they never went to sleep at night leaving money in their house. The Brisker Rav held that it was a chsar in emuna, because the Gemara, the Yishalmi that says, ha'oy ma nechel l'mocha, someone that leaves over bread in order to have a meal for tomorrow, harezeh mi chasar yamina. That's what it says in it's a chasar in emuna to leave over money for the next day. So therefore, they had a minik, he had a minik from his fathers, that any money that he had in his house was given away by that night. The sons of Rav had this minik, very big Adolim had this minik. So he had a tremendous dilemma. Here he was given money in order to save his family. But till he made the arrangements to properly to get the people to smuggle them out of the country to run away, it'll take a few months or a few weeks, whatever it was. But he had a minig, he didn't go to sleep at night, leaving money in his house. So what does he do? So he was machlet, that was the minig in his family. He went and he called a whole bunch of kapishtachsidim that were there, and he says, Rabbi, say, listen, I'm not allowed to hold on to this money. You all can run away. Every one of you takes, he gave out the money to a whole bunch of chsidim, and all of them ran away. A couple of months later, he finally made plans to smuggle his family out, and as he was about to run away, one of the great kapishtachsidim, another wealthy fellow, came to him and said, Rebbe, do you actually have money to pay the smugglers that you hired? And sheepishly he smiled. He says, no, I have no money with me. I never go to sleep with money. And that chassid was there. That chassid gave him the money. The chassid was there together with his wife, who had a very expensive necklace. She handed to him his necklace. He says, use this diamond necklace to run away. But at kedei kach, so he said, when I had the ability to save my family, I went and I took that money and I did tzedakah with it. And tzedakah, tatzel mimaves, that is the reason why I was zoicha to save my whole family. So one thing is clear, as the Indian from tzedakah is something which is such a tremendous schus, and it's something we should concentrate on very much. Now, last week we spoke about the Indian in Noshim accepting tzedakah. And we went through that topic, we pretty much finished that topic, but there was only one point I wanted to still discuss on the Indian of Noshim taking tzedakah. The other discussion was of Noshim giving tzedakah behind their husband's back. Now I want to discuss one more shaila, and how about Noshim taking tzedakah behind their husband's back? The Sefer Tuvchi Yabiyu Pashas Re'ei of Zilberstein had a very interesting question. The question he had was, there was a certain husband who lived b'dachkis otzim. He lived very, very poorly, and he refused to take tzedakah from anybody. And what the husband used to say, that the reason why I'm living this way is because it's a meiridig schus for me, that I'm not going to take money from anybody. We know that the Gemara tells us, asei shabbat chachoyl v'al tesarech lebriyos, that if a person sees he needs to have tzedakah, rather let him eat simple food on Shabbos, just a little bit challah, not make a fancy Shabbos meal, rather than taking tzedakah from anybody. The Gemara says, once the person starts to take already, then he should already take even for a Shabbos meal. But the best thing to do is, a person should always avoid not to want to come on to other people. Oy bazoi, if that's what it says, that a person should try to avoid coming on to other people, not take anything from anybody, he decided he's going to be mahadi on this mitzvah. But unfortunately, who suffered tremendously from this chumrah? His wife. The mois chitim in the city for many years went over to this person to give him money for Pesach, and b'shim leifin he's not taken. One year, the person's wife approached the mois chitim committee, and she said, listen, I am starving, I have no money for Pesach, my husband refuses to bring home, to accept any any tzedakah. What can I do? May I take the money behind his back? So Rav Zilberstein sent a shaila to Rabbi Yashiv. Two questions. Number one, in a ksuba we write that va'al yavrichu zemizeh, va'al yalimu zemizeh, that people will, that a husband and wife will not hide things from each other. Now, this doesn't mean to say that a wife is a confession booth and you have to go and you have to tell all the ma'aselach that ever happened in your life to your wife that's going to get you into trouble. That's not a smart thing to do in the first place. But what it means to say is that the things which are business issues, they're not allowed to hide one from each other, the earnings that they have. So that was the first question. The second question the wife had was, here my husband tried to have this tremendous schus of not accepting money from others. If I accept money, will I diminish that schus? That is what it's brought down. Those were the two shilas that he dealt with. So Rabbi Yashiv responded, she should absolutely yes, take the money. And the reason was, as al yalimu zemizeh, is earnings that they make a lot of money and they don't let the other one know because they don't want the other one to spend the money. Al yalimu zemizeh. And regarding the other question of the schus, Rabbi Yashiv said once she made that decision that she is not going to take the money, he's not going to take money from tzedakah, that schus was given to him already and he should not be concerned about losing that schus. Now, there is a different inyan which I wanted to discuss. Next week, Be'ez Hashem, we're going to discuss Maisa. This week, I want to discuss the inyan of first of a chaimesh, which means we know, look at the minimum a person can give tzedakah is a tenth of his earnings. But the Gemara also tells us hamavazbeis, if somebody is giving out tzedakah, al yavazbeis yoyisam chaimesh. He shouldn't give out more than a fifth of his money. It's a Gemara in Ksubas Daf Nun. Beusha eskini hamavazis al yavazis yoyisam chaimesh. Now, what is the reason why that a person shouldn't give away more than a fifth of his money? That he should not be become a nitzrach, because if a person is going to flaunt all his money and give all his money away, eventually he's going to become a tzedakah case himself. There's an interesting shtickel in the Divrei Yecheskel, who's the Shin of a Rav in Parshas Lech Lecha. He discusses why is it that Avraham Avinu gave 10% of his money for tzedakah, and Yaakov Avinu said Asa Asreni, he gave two tenths, which is a fifth. He says that Avraham Avinu worked very hard for his money. He went to war for his money. He fought for his money. On the other hand, Yaakov, his money came to him very easily. He wants to tie in an interesting pshara, and that is that if money comes to a person, he works very hard for it, then he has to give a tenth. If a person sees that Rabbi Yishlaim gave him money very easily, then he should give a fifth. I heard from Rav Pan Zachon Levracha that Bezman Azeh, when there's such a tremendous amount of Ashiris, he recommends a person should really give a fifth of his money for tzedakah. Lamaisa, a person has to see a situation, obviously, and we'll discuss. There are certain people that's even difficult for them to give a tenth itself, but that we'll discuss. But now, but the question is, how about more than a fifth of his money? But Pasht is, he should not give. Lamaisa, the Gemara brings down a story that happened by Mar Ukva, and the Gemara says that as Mar Ukva was dying, he was giving out a tremendous amount of his money. So in Shulchan Aruch and Reish Mem Tesis Kepaskin, that if a person is on his deathbed and he wants to have a tremendous schus, he's already allowed to give out more than a fifth of his money. I was once sitting with a certain Rav. He told me a story. It was really, the story was meant to be a joke. He says this old guy who didn't give a lot of tzedakah his whole life was lying on his deathbed, and he calls his wife over as his wife's there, his children are there, and as they're all there, he says to his they're all sitting there, and he calls his wife over and he says to his wife, Martha, her name was, he says, we have to give a lot of tzedakah now. And he calls over the head of the yeshiva, he says $100,000 to the yeshiva. And he calls over the head of the Achnosis Kal organization, he says $50,000 to them, and another organization, $200,000. And he gives his money very generously because he thought this was his last ability to give all this money. Finally, the Eibeshet Geholfen, that Baruch Hashem, everything's turned around, and he got better, and he had a refuah shleima, and he was doing very well. So a couple of weeks later, the head of the yeshiva comes and knocks on his door. No, you remember, you $100,000 you promised to the yeshiva. So he turns to his wife and he says, Martha, I was really that sick that I was promised such a large amount of money. But one thing is for sure, if a person shouldn't give more than a chaimish, but if a person is taking a matzev where the person is is dying, he should not. He is allowed to give away a large amount of money. There's a very famous story they say over that by the Sanzarov, there was a certain person that was on his deathbed, and the Chevra Kedisha came and they were pushing him to give tzedakah. And he said, "Vashibayim and Shabayim is not giving tzedakah." So the Sanzarov told him that we know that if a kikovasik vareno, Rashi says that kfura is a kapora, but if a person leaves over a tzavah, then that they should not bury him, then the kfura is not a kapora for him. So the Sanzarov said that the reason why kfura is a kapora is because even though you're dead, it's because mechayim, you and nicha, that they should bury you after you die. But on the other hand, if a person refuses to give while he's alive, and they take his money after he's dead, and they give it for tzedakah, he has no schus. If you'll take a look, it says in Nechsin Kippur that on Yiska, people are noided tzedakahs for the dead people, and it says why? Because if you noid the tzedakah for the dead people, since when they were alive, they would have given tzedakah, that's why it's a schus for them. You say that if they would have been alive, they also would have given money on Yom Kippur or by Yiska. But if a person in his lifetime does not give tzedakah, then it's not shaykh to say afterwards that his money that's used for something good is a schus for him. The Chofetz Chaim in Avos Chesed Simen Chof Sifkaten Aleph says that even it's based on the Yeshit Mikibet says in Ksubis that even a person that's giving away a large amount of his money after his death should only go and give away up to a third or up to a half, because the Chofetz Chaim says he should leave over some of the money for his children. So it's not, you shouldn't give away all of your money. The Chofetz Chaim comes up with a different heter when a person can give more than a fifth of his money, and that is if he's a osher muflik, someone that's, the whole reason why you can't give away more than a fifth of your money is because you're going to become poor. Now somebody that's has $100 billion, so he wants to go and give away four fifths of his money, he's left with $20 billion, he's still not going to become a poor man. Others say, Chofetz Chaim says another heter, that this is only when a person is, when the it's a type of shaila, which is a shaila that you're trying to give away money to help a person. But let's say it's pekich nefesh, the person, if you don't give him the money, is going to die. So then the Chofetz Chaim also said you can give away more than a fifth of your money. Another heter where you're allowed to give away more than a fifth of your money is brought down when it's for hachzokas ha-toyra. Because when you're supporting Torah, what happens is there can become like a yisachas zvulun deal. A yisachas zvulun deal is a partnership for your benefit. So when you're buying into a partnership, you can go and give away more than a fifth of your money. There's nothing wrong with that. There's another heter which is brought down in the Bach. The Bach brings down that somebody that's a Rav on a Kehillah is allowed to give away all of his money for tzedakah, because the old Rabbanim that were in Kehillahs, their salary was guaranteed by the Kehillah, by the community. So he says, what's the problem? The problem is you're going to give away most of your money, you're not going to have anything left. But if a person has a specific guaranteed area of source of income, then there also are matirim in that type of situation. And that's why he says that we know the Gemara tells us in the Masechta Sukkah that Rabbi Akiva went and he bought a luluv. The luluv he bought was 1,000 zuz. So everybody asked the Kasha, how did Rabbi Akiva spend so much money on a luluv? The Teretz was Rabbi Akiva had his money from the Kehillah, and therefore he had no problems with that issue whatsoever. I just want to be madgish one point which the Chofetz Chaim makes. The Chofetz Chaim says, here we're discussing not giving away more than a fifth of your money. What is the reason why? Because you're going to become poor. So the Chofetz Chaim says, how about if a person goes and on luxuries he spends half of his money? Spends half of his money on luxuries. So what's this person going to tell me now? I can't give away more than a fifth of my money for tzedakah because I'm going to become poor. But when it comes to luxuries, you spend 50% of your money, or some people spend 150% of their money on luxuries. So how could you afterwards tie it to me that you can't go and give more than a fifth of your money? So the Chofetz Chaim says a person that spends all of that on luxury has taken no such heter of hamavaz zayivaz yosim yichaymish. Furthermore, the Chofetz Chaim says not only he believes it's wrong, but the Chofetz Chaim says that you have to gauge your life and act in a way which is al pi derech haTorah. And if the Torah tells you don't spend more than a fifth of your money on tzedakah, so kal v'chaymer, when it comes to luxuries, you should go and you should be mismayet, and you should not go and spend that kind of money. We'll discuss still in the next year, Hilchas Maaseh, there's a tshuva in the Minchas Yitzchak about expense deductions in Maaseh, which we have to discuss. So Minchas Yitzchak, somebody wrote him a question that he wants to buy himself a Rolls Royce. he writes. He says he needs the Rolls Royce as a to act in business, that people should think that he has an investment banker. He wants people to believe that it's worthwhile to invest with him because he's a very successful person. So we'll discuss that next week, but the Chafetz Chaim obviously didn't hold from that type of his nahagis. Now, the discussion that I would like to go to next is this: one of the more difficult situations that come up in Hilchis Tzedakah is that there are times that people come to you and we daven to the Eibishter for one thing, that when we give a person tzedakah, we should give tzedakah to a erlich person, and we don't want to give tzedakah to a fraud. And that's a very serious issue, because we know that the Pasuk tells us in the Moshe Rabbeinu davened that don't listen to the tefillah. Rashi tells us hichshilim ba'aniyim she'enan mihigonim, which means basically speaking that if you give money to a person that's not erlich, so you should know it's absolutely not a mitzvah of tzedakah. And more than that, the Gemara brings down a Masechta Sanhedrin, Hanoisin Pita Lamin She'ein Boideya Yisurin Bon Olav. So not only it's not considered a mitzvah, you're going to run into problems because of it. So it becomes a very difficult issue. What? Oh, I want to discuss that. What's Pshat Ein Boideya? What does it mean? We're going to get to all of these things in the next few minutes. But tzedakah is something you should give to Erlecha people, and not Chalila Faket. There's a very interesting pasuk that Shlaima said b'chachmasai in Mishlei in Perik Yugimah Pasuk Zayin. Shlaima Melech said, "Yes, mis asher ve'ein koil mis roishesh v'haim rav." Sometimes you have a person mis asher that looks to you like he's very wealthy ve'ein koil, and he doesn't have a penny to his name. Mis roishesh. Sometimes you have a person that looks very, very poor, and what happens v'haim rav? He has a tremendous amount of wealth, and this has always been a problem throughout the generations. As a matter of fact, the Gemara tells us, the Yishalmi and Peya tells us an interesting story. The Yishalmi and Peya tells us that Rabbi Yochanan and Rosh Lakish were going into the bathhouse. And as they were going into the bathhouse, the poor man came. And the poor man said, "Can you please give us tzedakah?" And they said, "So we're going to go to the bathhouse. We'll meet you on the way out." Right? A lot of times you're in a rush to get to daven in the morning, so you say to the person collecting at the door, you say, "I'll give you on the way out." So what happened? And so what happened was, as they're coming out, they see the man died on the ground. So they felt very guilty, and they figured that was because they pushed him off. That is the reason why he died. So they were makabel on themselves that they're going to do the kvura of this person. They felt so terrible, they decided they're going to do the kvura. As they're going to do the kvura of this person, something suddenly drops out of the back of this person that was lying in his shirt. And sure enough, it's a purse of gold coins. And they see that Kanayna Hara, that this man in his who was collecting tzedakah had in his shirt more money than both of them together were worth. So take a look at what the story. So they realize that sometimes, unfortunately, there are people that are makabel tzedakah that don't really need the money. Okay, there's a Mishnah in Peya. The Mishnah in Peya says, Peya test, Mishnah test. If somebody is makabel tzedakah and he doesn't need it, he should know he's going to eventually, if your person acts as a poor person, he's going to become a poor person. If a person acts like he's blind in order to collect money, he's going to become blind. The person uses a cane in order to collect money, he's going to need a cane. And the Pasuk says, Tzedek, Tzedek, Tirdoif. Tzedek is tzedakah. Tirdoif. It will run after the person who uses the tzedakah to cover up for him. So a person that takes tzedakah illegitimately should know that eventually those things are going to happen to him. But what do people do in order to try to avoid that they shouldn't be given to these people? So first of all, the Shulchan HaTorah, Reb Aaron Roth, writes that in Shara Tzedakah, a person should be mispal to the Ribbono Shel Olam, that he should be zoicha to aniyim higonim. He should be zoicha to give to erlecha poor people. You should also know that it's a moridik eschus in a way, because the Gemara says in Ksubas Daf Samaches, Rabbi Eliezer said, "Boy v'nachsik toiva l'ramoyim." Let us thank the liars, because if not for them, can you imagine the tremendous? If every person that came to you for tzedakah was legitimate, could you imagine how difficult it would be for you as a halacha achrayis to actually keep those people going? So the Gemara says, "Nachamazel that there are some swindlers out there." So at least that will be a limit on us. The Gemara in Bava Basra Daf Tesamad Beis tells us that if a person is roidif tzedakah, a person who wants to give tzedakah, he looks to give tzedakah with an erlichkeit, he will see that he will be zoicha to give to the erlicha places. There's a famous story. It's a very, very famous story. So I don't want to repeat the whole story. Which of Chaim Volozhin that had had the Yeshulov that went to collect money by somebody, and one year he didn't want to give him money because he said, you got very nice horse and buggy, and I don't want to give the money to the horse and buggy. And he explained to him how in the Mishkan, how did Bezalel know which part of the Mishkan to put every person's money to? So he says that Bezalel knew how to be Mitzarev, all the Chachmas, and he knew that the Koyach, that a person, the Ahava, that a person gave the Tzedakah, the Nedivas Halev, that's where the person who had true Nedivas Halev, his money ended up in the Kodshei Kodeshim, and the person that did not have the proper Nedivas Halev, his money ended up in some other places that were not nearly as lofty. There was a story that one time happened in Kovna. There was a person in Kovna who came into the city, and he acted as a poor man, and he swindled most of the city. And after he went and he swindled most of the city, so the people of the city felt very taken for a ride. So they came to Rabbi Yitzchak Elchanan, who was the famous Gadol, the Rav of Kovna, with a proposal that from now on, they're not allowing into the city of Kovna any more people to collect money because of this Maisa Shehoya. So Rabbi Yitzchak Elchanan read the proposal and he said, it's a gewaldige proposal, I couldn't agree with it more, but I just want to make one change. He says, you said that because of this story, you're not allowing into the city any more poor people. He says, I want to make it Mida Keneged Mida. Because of this story, you shouldn't allow into the city any more rich people that act like poor people. That would be a little bit more of an appropriate Mida Keneged Mida for what actually happened. You can't hold this against the poor people. Now the emes is that I want to get to the conclusion of the emes is how to be machria and how to act in this kind of situation is something which is extremely difficult. What do you taka do? In Shulchan Aruch it says that when a person comes for tzedakah, you should be boidik and you should check what this person is all about. These people get in the mail tons and tons of letters for tzedakah. Tons and tons of letters come. I spoke to some people about it a week after the shir. Some people, there's a misconception. The halacha is when a person comes to you for money, there's halacha, you can't be misalim from that person. You have to give him. If he's an Elech HaTzedakah. And yeah, but the truth is you should really give everybody a Dove Mu'et, a small amount of money, even if you don't feel he's Elech. I saw that Moshe Feinstein, whenever he would go anywhere, that was his minig, he would always put quarters into his pocket, because that's kedai to be knowing that way, that even a person you know is not Lamais, a few prutas won't make a difference. Like this, every single person you should give money. A larger amount of money, 100%, you should look into it, and you should think about what you're doing, you should research what you're doing. Just to go and put a few dollars into every single envelope is Nishka Mahalach. You have to go and take the envelopes that come. Rav Moshe writes in his Tshuva that even though there are halachas in Shulchan Aruch, bina kedimas in tzedakah, between Achnasas Shvuyim, Achnasas Kala, Talmud Torah, the Chofetz Chaim says that's the most important one. Whichever one it is, soif kol soif, one thing is klor. And that is klor. Rav Moshe says that all those halachas belong to a gabat tzedakah. A yochid should take his money, and a yochid should give his money to where his heart lies. That's where he's allowed to give his money. Every person knows what type of tzedakah he feels is the most valuable to him, and that's where he should give his money. You should also research the tzedakahs that come to you. If you get a gift in the mail that comes with an envelope, you should know that a person can't force you to accept a gift from him. And if you don't value that tzedakah, you're not mechuyav to send the money for that gift that he sent you. It's absolutely not. However, if it's a book that you would have bought because you read it, you enjoyed it, it's a good practice to get used to, that you don't have hanoah from somebody else's money without actually having hanoah first, without actually taking that item and paying for it. But that is all me'ikr hadin. Shulchan Aruch also says if somebody comes to you, you don't know about him, so first you should give him the basic necessities to eat until you properly research him. After you research him, then you'll decide about giving him the rest of the money. The hardest shaila that when you research the person, actually you did figure out one thing. I mean, I saw a story recently where there was a certain person that was going around the shuls in the morning, and I saw this with my own eyes. A certain business person approached him and said, listen, I have a nice business, I'll give you, come work for me, I'll give you a kach for kach amount of money. And the truth was, it was a fair number. And the person said, what are you talking about? I'm doing better the way I'm doing right now. So there you get already a very serious issue. Here's a person, and it was not a person that was sitting and learning, at least. You know, if he was sitting and learning, then gevalik, that's what he decides to do for panosa. No, he's into hate. Fine, instead of taking a kol check, he's going around in the morning. So that's the Chofetz Chaim said, if a person decides to sit and learn, he's allowed to put his achrayus on the tzibur. Other rabbi, the Chofetz Chaim says he should do so. So there would be one story, but in such a case, it becomes even more difficult. So the emphasis is that How you view this type of person is quite difficult. The Kliyoka, firstly, in Shmoyz Chav Gimel Pasuk Hey, he says, Kisir Chamoir Roivet Tachas Masoi. So the Kliyoka says it's a mitzvah of Ozav Tazav Imoi. So the Kliyoka says clearly, when do you have a mitzvah of Ozav Tazav Imoi? When the person tries to help along. If the person goes and says, okay, I'm going to look away and let somebody else take care of my donkey and its masa, so the Kliyoka says, you're not machuyiv to help him. If a person makes a clear decision that he doesn't want to work and therefore he's going to be mutla latziba, the pashta is, you're not machuyiv to help him. That's what it says in the Kliyoka. However, this becomes a very tricky question. The tzidura that the Rei Chaim's minig was, he gave everybody, those that were worthy and those that were unworthy. And one time, the Rei Chaim gave money to a person that was very unworthy, and the Bnei Mishpachtoi, his family members, came to the Chavetz Chaim with tremendous tainus. How did you go and give this person all that money? So the Chavetz Chaim, the Rei Chaim went and said, I want to tell you a story. There was the Heilige Rebbe Zisha of Anipoli, okay? The brother of the Rebbe Melech of Luzhensk had a certain person who lived in a city, and he saw the Rebbe Zisha, and the Rebbe Zisha went and kept on and was learning in the Besmedrash. So he said to this to Rav Zisha, you know, I want to make a deal with you. It seems to me you're a God-fearing person. You look to me like a very elcha person. I'll give you money. I'm sure I'm going to be matzliach from giving you money. That's the story that happened. So he was giving him money, and the person started to have hatzlocha and more hatzlocha, and the person got very successful. No, one day he sees that every half a year the Rebbe Zisha leaves, and he comes back a couple of weeks later. So he says to him, where do you go? So he said to the successful person, I go to my Rebbe, who my Rebbe is the Mezritcher Maggid. So the guy thinks to himself, he says, what am I being ridiculous for? Here I'm going giving the Rebbe of Zisha money. But the Rebbe of Zisha has a Rebbe who's the Mezritcher Maggid. The Mezritcher Maggid is his Rebbe. So can you imagine how successful I'll be if I go, I'll give my money directly to the Mezritcher Maggid. So for half a year he stopped giving the Rebbe of Zisha money, and he started to go to the Mezritcher Maggid, and he started to give him his money. And then suddenly he takes a look, and his business starts to go down, he starts to lose money, and his fortune turns the other way. So anyways, after half a year, he comes up to Rebbe Zisha and says, listen, I want to ask you a question. There's no question about it. The reason I'm losing my money is because I stopped giving you the money. But tell me, I'm trying to understand this. The Mezritcher Maggid is your Rebbe. He's greater than you. Why is it that that if I give you the money, I'm successful? If I give you Rebbe your money, who's so much greater than you, I suddenly became unsuccessful? So Rebbe Zisha says, let me explain the answer to you. You're right. The Mezritcher Maggid is a very, very big tzaddik. And I happen to be, I'm not nearly on that madrega. However, I'll tell you what happened. As long as you indiscriminately gave me your money, you gave your money to somebody that wasn't worthy of it. So the Rebbe Shlomo said, big deal, you're not worthy to being a wealthy person either. So I'll give you the money. Gesinta heit, you're not makbid, I'm not makbid, it's a good deal. Oh, you're makbid already. You know who to give, who is a worthy oni. So the Rebbe Shlomo says, if you're a worthy Yoni, I'll find myself a worthy Yosha too. So, you know, to go and start to be medagdic in these halacha is a little bit difficult. There's no question that you should be pashtis, you should look into the tzedakahs, you should give your larger amounts of money to those that are worthy of getting the larger donations, but the small donations you shouldn't turn away from people. Even people, it says that you even mefarnes aniyah yakim together with aniyah yisrael. You see a guy in the street, al-sechil Hashem, you give him a little bit of money too. So you should a certain amount of money. You give a quarter in besmedrash, it's definitely not going to hurt anybody. Avada person should give all these people and not be so medagdik on these cheshbonos. I didn't get yet I was about to get. But that maybe will have to be another shift another time. There's a richtig stipel. If you want to see it, it's at the soif of, it's in the addition to Pasha's Beshalach. I have a copy of it in Birchas Peretz. He discusses exactly all the details of that Gemara, how that fits into this Gemara. I'll finish off just with two halachas, and that is, firstly, there's no question that there should be a time in the Besmedrash that, I heard this from Ravelsky told it to me, there should be a time in the Besmedrash between Yoytza Oyer, at least till Shmoneh Esrei, where they leave you alone, they don't collect tzedakah. Because the Maisa, it's not fair, you're not supposed to be mafsik, and it should be, there is a Zman that should be quiet, and that's no question, that should be the Zman. They can start collecting. I just have a very interesting question, which I've been thinking about for a lot of years already, because it's been happening to me for a lot of years already. When I daven in the morning, I take a couple of dals, I put on my talis batel, and as I'm davening, if let's say you're giving out quarters, so this person comes and takes a quarter, this person takes another quarter, you keep on giving out quarters, and they keep on giving you change. You know how it is by davening. All right, a person can give dollars, whatever it is, depends on the person's yichailis. Now, very often, when I'm talking these places where you shouldn't be mafsik, in the middle of Shema, middle of Shemoneh Esrei, I find a very interesting thing. People go around collecting, and what they do is, they know already that, they know you're a quarter man, you're a dollar man, and they take right off your talis batel that amount that should have been allotted to them. I find sometimes in the middle of Shemoneh Esrei, I can give out a couple of dollars. It's a gewaldige schuss for my Shemoneh Esrei. Lemaisa, I thought about it, the MS is, do they have a right to take it, even though they know that I will always give it. It's like their money. That's the shtickle stifle you have to read. That's the shtickle stifle. The last idea of the halacha is they can't, they should not take the money.
Okay.
100%, Taka. We discussed this last week. The Osha is the teller, but you can't rob a bank. If you rob the bank, you get into trouble. Good.